The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
What's up, guys? The red light is on. Dave Van Auken, the Dave Van Auken Show. Bringing back in a guest we've had multiple times. One of my little personal favorites. Love talking to him. Guys, 19-5, still 26 years young. Like, everyone thinks he's been around the game a lot, and he has, but still a huge future ahead. I'm talking about the guy All In, a new promotion on the rise, two-time dad. Let's bring in my guy, All In. What's up, Brendan?
Shit, man. What's happening with you, man? Thanks for having me.
Absolutely, brother. Love talking to you. Always love having you. It's funny. The last time we talked, you're like, hey, Dave, we're talking about your fight. You're like, hey, I'm not fighting that guy anymore. We broke the news right here on the show. Is everything still on with you and Joku on October 1st? Everything's still good?
Everything that I know of is still good. If it's not, fuck, it's news to me.
That was funny. Last time we're like going through it, you're like, nah, Dave, I got someone else. So, man, how's life, man? Everything good on your side?
Yeah, man, of course. How's everything going with you? Family good?
Yeah, really good, man. They're growing. We just keep on feeding these kids water and pizza, and they just keep on growing, you know?
Hey, whatever's working, right? As long as they're getting bigger and they're healthy, that's all that matters.
Absolutely, man. Absolutely. All right, let's talk about it. October 1st, a very key marquee matchup. I think it's going underneath the radar. That card has got a couple of these fights, a little sneaky, really, really high-end fights. To me, it could be one of those, the people's main event. You and Joku, you guys have been going back and forth on social media. It's a nice fight. It's a good fight for you. You know, how you are mentally, physically, how are you feeling in this little fight camp? Got like a week and a half left.
Yeah, man, I feel good. I feel very, very well prepared. Everything's good, healthy. Weight's really good. So I can't, you know, complain about anything. I'm just ready to go. I'm excited for it. I know it's going to be a test. I know it's a funny puzzle to try to figure out. But obviously, I think I have the answers, and we'll see next Saturday.
Very cool. And like I really did say it before bringing you on, and you know how I feel about you and how good you are in the MMA cage. I'm a huge fan of what you do, but I do think you're kind of underrated or maybe overlooked in the division. I feel people have seen you for a while, if that makes sense. They've seen you in big fights, even on the way up. To me, you're still super young, man. I know that kid 17 just got on the Contender Series, but most of those other guys are fighting on the Contender 25, 27, 28. You're still 26, and I just feel you won four out of your last five in the UFC. Like, not a lot of middleweights are saying that. And you look at your lineup, dude, you probably say yes to every fight. You know what I mean? That's just the type of guy you are. You don't say no to anyone. Your lineup is tough as hell. Why do you think from the outside, from some of the media side, you might be, to me, overlooked, or to me at least underrated? Why do you think that is?
I don't know, man. I don't have this outlandish personality. I'm just me. I don't really care for too much. I'm just whatever. I like to talk shit. I like to have fun. More so around my friends. But I think when it comes to fighting, I just don't show everything, and I don't think that's because I'm holding back. It's my decision. It's just like, it's evolution. Like, and I'm still like evolving and trying to get better at different areas, but trying to show that guy that's in the gym into the fights is something that I've always struggled with. And, I think it's more mentally, which is why I added some things this camp, to my mental preparations. And, we'll see if it pays off, of course, but I think it's just I just haven't shown exactly like how good I am. Like, people haven't seen exactly how good I am. I've only had a couple of performances where it's like, oh shit, like, he's good.
Right. And man, that's crazy. First of all, the first thing that pops in my head is that frustrating as hell. Like, is that frustrating to put in so much time and effort? I know you travel a lot to be away from the family to camp, bust your ass, and do everything that you do. And then it's fight night. You're like, man, I'm only 75% of Brendan Allen out. Like, is that frustrating on that first side of it?
It's super frustrating. I think the most frustrating part, though, is when, like, say, like, I do lose, if I get caught or whatever the case is, however I lose, it doesn't matter.
Right.
But it's losing to someone that I feel in my heart isn't truly better than me. It's just that I didn't perform, and I have nobody to blame but myself.
Right.
No excuse can be made. Nobody can be blamed except for me. And I think that's the most frustrating part for me, because even if I lose to someone and they really are better than me, they beat me everywhere, I can accept that. It's a hard pill to swallow, but I can accept that. I know me and I know my personality. I know I can always accept that and look at them and be like, fuck, man, they were just better than me. Like,
right.
Hats off to them, you know? But I haven't had that yet. And I have, five losses. And still to this day, I can say 100% truthful that in my heart, I don't feel that any of them are better than me.
With that being said, like I said, I just threw out there, you won 4 of your last 5 in the UFC. Very impressive. I know the Chris Curtis one. I know you would love that back. I know, you know, not making excuses for you. And like I said, people will be like, man, get off Brendan's thing. But I am. I'm a Brendan Allen guy. It is what it is. I know that inside that cage, you maybe weren't 100%. Let's just say that. Also, the Strickland fight, I know you want that back. How bad, you know, not to overlook anything, and I know you got a huge fight on the first as Joku, and I know that's a big one. That's a nice one. How bad do you want that Strickland and that Curtis fight back sooner or later?
To be honest, I want any rematch that I can get, man. I haven't got any rematches. Yeah. I've had times in, like, my either amateur or pro. I think amateur was more along the lines. I can't think off the top of my head for pro, but I was rematching guys that I beat just because, like, there was no one else to fight. They said they wanted to fight again. They said they could beat me, so I'd rematch them. Yeah. I've never had the same opportunity. I've never had anyone beat me and be like, yo, let's run it back. Like, publicly, be like, yo, we can run it. I've had people say, we can do it, but I never have anyone be like, yo, let's do it. Like,
yeah,
you know what I'm saying? Like,
yeah.
So for me, if anyone ever says they want to fight again, we can fight again. Like Malcoon said, eventually we'll see each other. We don't have to, we can see each other whenever you want. Like,
yeah,
I'm about it whenever you're about it. I don't care. It's just going to end. Like, in my head, I think of it, I'm just going to pick up where I left off. I was whooping your ass then. I'm going to pick it up even worse.
Right.
So that's just how I feel, man. But obviously I want those back. But I always look at it as well as, like, I try to be better and smarter. And it's like, as long as I just keep doing me, stay on my path.
Right.
If it's meant to be, we'll come back together again and we'll meet. And, I'll show what it should have been, you know.
For sure.
It's part of my learning lesson. It's part of my journey, and I wouldn't change it.
You know, me seeing on social media, we'll kind of get into you personally here in a second. But how about Killcliff FC? You know, a whole new, like, team name. The mats to me, Sanford was always that beautiful white mats. You guys went all black and gold. I see the socials today. I see you out there. And Henry threw up some beautiful, beautiful pictures of the gym and how good it looked. Kind of throw out just everything that happened in the gym and the team, you know, the new name and all of that nature. Can you talk about that?
Yeah, I mean, I don't know exactly, like, the specifics behind it. I don't know what, like, I know, like, the Sanford and Switch or whatever was all mutual and fine. Like, there's no, like, bad blood or anything. But, yeah, I mean, they just said they were switching the gym. We're getting a new name, getting new equipment, new, you know, everything new. So part of my camp this time, we had to, like, help with some of the mats and moving that stuff because they had somebody that was supposed to come do it. But then shipping got, you know, some of the mats and stuff delayed. So then the people couldn't come in and do it, you know. Take everything out, put the new ones in, and, you know, everything how it was supposed to be. So it all got changed up. So a lot of the team helped and did all the work, and it looks great. It looks phenomenal. You know, it's all top of the line stuff. It's all very nice. And, you know, we got a great facility. You can see by the pictures, it's a top notch facility and it looks amazing.
The one thing I'm hearing from a lot of the, you know, it's so funny. I bet you guys, I know a lot of the fighters, you guys have so many group texts and group messages and your thing. So a lot of the MMA media side on the other side has, like, group texts and chats and shit of that nature. And everything you've been hearing for the last week is, look at Killcliff's mats. Look how, like, sweaty they are. Look at all that sweat on the black. It's like, because when it was all white, it was hard to see and all of that nature. And when they went to the black, it's like it pops. It's like, holy shit, you see Brendan and Chandler, you know, drenched in sweat on there. Just how crazy is that? Have you noticed it, and have you guys talked about it or joked about it behind the scenes?
Yeah, I think it's also the type of mats are different. Like, there's a different texture to these ones. They're okay. A little bit softer and smoother. So they get, when they do get a lot of sweat on, they are super slippery. Ooh. But they're way more forgiving on, like, your knees and stuff from shooting. Like, the other ones will tear you up. Like, I actually have, like, I bought some of the old mats to bring home for, you know, whatever I decide to do later on. But those will tear you up. Like, they'll hurt. They'll mat burn. These mats are way more forgiving, but they're way more slippery. So it's kind of like a double-edged sword. There's nothing exactly perfect, you know, when it comes to mats. But yeah, it shows a lot more.
It does. It's funny you say that, because my friend Jillian Robertson, who just won last weekend, literally choked out Agapova to death almost. It was crazy shit. She says the worst stuff getting out of the fights, and, you know, especially at the Apex, is those damn rug burns. She goes, her knees are awful and it hurts for 10 straight days. Showers suck afterwards. She goes, those, like, no one thinks of it. Everyone thinks it's like a, you know, a bouncy mat there. That UFC's like rug burn city, bro. Nuts.
No, it's a canvas. And with, I've heard they spray it with something and it makes it kind of sticky. Ooh. So it's almost like a glue almost. It feels you're fighting on it. And man, people, even if, like, you fight, you don't understand until you fight on that one.
Yeah.
When you fight on that one, like, I still don't know how people slip on it. I don't understand how they slip. It's, for me, it's impossible. Unless, like, you throw so much into a kick and you kind of, like,
off balance.
Yeah. So, but that, I've had that a lot, and it freaking hurts, man. It really does get infected easily too. Like, you have to put, like, ointment on there right away. At least for me, I do. I've waited one day before, like, I go home, I go back and shower, normal shower. The next day I wake up, I'm like, shit, man, that's sore. Like, why is it even more sore and swollen and oozing stuff out? I'm like, dude, it's only been what, eight to 12 hours. So yeah, I've learned after the fights. That's why I don't like to grapple that much in there. I don't want to grapple. Shit hurts.
Man, who wants to grapple when you can throw hands, man? Come on now, come on.
It's a lot easier.
You talked about that home gym real quick. Was that something just to do on the side when Killcliff was kind of switching over? I saw you and Tuco doing a lot of work, you know, of course, on socials. Was that mainly for that, or is that something maybe down the line that you're kind of intrigued in?
So I bought mats personally because eventually I want to open up a gym at home.
Okay.
But as far as, like, the at-home training was the Killcliff stuff was happening. Me and Tuco were kind of doing our thing, and we were in Philly. So, like, when we'd go to Philly to train, and then we'd come back because he lives about an hour and a half from there. And we train at night at home. So we'd do two sessions a day, but one would be, you know, at John Marquez and Daniel Gracie's spot. And then the other would be in his, his house. He has a really nice garage and it's all set up super nice, super,
looks
super
good.
Nice.
Looks real good. Yeah, so when you say home, you mean Louisiana, right?
For a gym?
For you. Yeah.
Yeah, in Louisiana.
So you think, 3 years from now, 5 years from now, 10, you're going to have your own gym, boom, centered in the, you know, in the bayou somewhere.
Yeah, I don't think it'll ever be for me for training, like, just specifically for me for fight camps. Just level-wise, it's a little bit different.
Okay.
But it'll definitely be, like, you know, so people can come learn, and I'll have people teaching. Like, at this point in my life, I don't have the time to be able to just teach all the time. So I'd have people teaching for me. And obviously I'd go every now and then, show face, maybe teach a class here and there, but, it's just another way to give back. And as well, it's another, form of income for me as well. So it's a double-edged sword as well. It's nice.
I like that. Talking about new income, how about this? A new promotion. Man, my guy Jorge Masvidal's done it. Anthony Pettis has did it. How about All In Combat? I'm so pumped for it. I even slid into the DMs. I'm like, Brendan, man, get me a job, man. I'm a big fan of this. Talking to me how it came to be, what's kind of the future you have for it off the top of the head. You know, is this something you would love to, you know, literally be the face of your promotion and kind of, hate to say it, but be the Dana White of it. Just talk to me about the promotion itself.
Yeah. So, I mean, I've been wanting to do something like that for a while. Like, I've always wanted to give back to the community as a whole, the fans and mostly the fighters, of course, especially from where I come from. There's not, you know, a whole lot that does that. They have promotions that are just about themselves. The promoter just wants to make money. They don't really give a crap about the fighters. And they also have other promotions that just they care about the fighters, but they're more so for their particular fighters. And that's okay. There's nothing wrong with that, you know. At least they're taking care of the fighters at some aspect, you know. Right. For me, I don't make a living off of that. And hopefully maybe one day I will. That'd be great if I can grow it to something to be like that. But for me at this point, as long as I can pay all the people that are working for me, pay the fighters pretty well, you know, especially for a local promotion. And I don't even have like a deal yet with anyone, but I will get a deal. I will, like, it's going to happen.
No, that's, I'm so happy you said that. Let me just jump in. So 1,000% you would love Dave, and 10 months, I would like to be on a UFC fight pass or a DAZN deal, or man, there's like, it's 2022. The game is changing. There's so many other streaming services that are looking for content, Brennan. You know, like Netflix is looking for stuff. Amazon Prime is looking for stuff. So, you know, you keep doing your thing. You keep on becoming a star in the UFC. Amazon Prime goes, hey, let's kind of link up. Let's do a deal, you know, once every 6 weeks to put a station on. You definitely want to be on one of those kind of major platforms?
Yeah, for sure. I'm not okay. Just in life in general, I'm not a mediocre kind of guy. I'm not, that's right. Not me. I try to do everything very, very as close to perfect as I can get it.
Sure.
And I want to be as best as I can be. So at this very second, I don't have a deal. I want to make sure I have my show perfect. The people that we have working together, I don't like to say they're working under me. I feel we're just kind of all working together.
Right.
So I feel like the team that I have is great for right now, and obviously we'll add more later. But we want to just get it down to a fine art, have everything, you know, perfect, all great reviews, everyone, you know, liking and giving a crap about us,
yeah.
I guess you would say. Yeah. And see what we're doing for the fighters as well, because it's not just average. Like, I personally, out of my own pocket, fronted all the costs for the whole show.
Right.
Obviously, now we're starting to get sponsors and stuff like that. We just started getting those, so that's changing a little bit. But I bought a brand new cage. It's a real like nice cage. It's really nice. It's just, yeah. It's basically just like the Apex cage, same size,
wow.
Same shape, same everything. So, I want the fighters to feel like a big time show, and I don't want it to just mimic the UFC or mimic Bellator. I want to have my own spin on it as well, but I want it to be professional, because obviously those, like the UFC has made it as big as they are because of the way that they organize and run things.
Sure.
So that's definitely the biggest template, and me being a part of it and seeing behind the scenes and how that works, it just helps. And also I have like other people that work for me are fighters. Like anyone who talks to a fighter from, you know, this promotion was a fighter at one point, whether it was amateur, pro, high, low level, they know what it's like. They know what it feels like. They understand how to take care of that fighter. Like my wife does all like the business, the book part of it, you know, that's her thing.
Yeah, yeah.
But she knows like talking to fighters is not her, because she doesn't understand that portion of it, of how to interact with a fighter, how they're feeling, what they're going through, you know? So I have people set for that too. But everyone has their own particular parts right now, and they play a big role in it. And so far it's working out great. It's going great. And we're all just super excited. Like I said, we started really early to make sure that we get everything, you know, perfect. I don't want anything to just hop up out of nowhere and be like, oh, crap, we didn't plan for this. So we just wanted to run smoothly, let everyone love it, feel that, even though it's not big yet, that big feel. But eventually one day we plan on doing something, you know, I don't think it'll ever compete with, like, the UFC. That's a whole different ball game, a whole different level. But it'll definitely compete with like an LFA or Combates or something
right.
That,
so
for sure.
You know, if you could say there's the UFC, there's PFL, and there's Bellator, right? Maybe those are the three major ones. Maybe that order, who knows? That's a kind of another argument or debate for another time, right? But then underneath, like you said, there's really great feeder systems into all those promotions. You know, a couple on UFC Fight Pass, like you just said, LFA. Like I said, there's Icon FC. There's some, you know, Fury FCs down there in Texas that you know, all that stuff. So, like, you would like to be one of those major cogs that kind of develop these guys, or just one fight away pop these guys right back in the UFC or PFL of that nature.
Yeah, for sure, man. And I want to develop younger guys as well. You know, I have a very good relationship with Eric Garcia and Rich at for Fury. So, you know, that's one that I'll always work with, whether we do co-promotions at some point down the line or, you know, he takes some of my guys, I take some of his guys here and there, like scratch your back, I scratch mine. We are, like I said, we're all good friends and we communicate really well. So they come into New Orleans now every time, a few times a year. And my base will always be Louisiana. This, that's my home. That's, you know, what I try to represent. So the home for my promotion will always be Louisiana. May we venture out at some point? Yeah, at some point it may happen. We move around a little bit, but 100% the base will always be in Louisiana.
Crawfish, LSU Tigers, Brendan Allen. You know what I mean? Come on. It's like that's Louisiana. Three last things for you. Real fun stuff. Just quick answers. First thing pops in your head. UFC 281, Izzy or Piera? Who do you got?
Piera.
I'll get you on again. That's another one. Gregory Rodriguez's performances last week. How crazy? How bananas was that?
Oh, crazy. I was hyped yelling for him. I was so excited, man. He's about to have a baby.
Oh, good.
His wife's pregnant. He just said, oh, man, that's a big, Chitty's a big name. You know, he's fought in Bellator a while. He's very good. He's very fast. And they were pushing him quick because he's not a young guy and he has a lot of experience and he's talented. So that was a very big fight for Greg. And, man, I was so happy he went out there and just did his thing. I was nervous when he got hit with the knee off of that, like, half kind of shot.
Bro.
But, man, that guy's a killer.
He just ate it. He's like, I'm good. What's up? Like, insane. I know you like to maybe wager a little bit on mixed martial arts, sometimes mainly on your friends, or maybe you have some good stuff on. What is maybe one of the most memorable bets you ever made on a winning side? Something that you felt so strong about or a fun story about? What's a memorable win for you?
The Derek Brunson and Darren Till fight.
Okay. You nailed crazy, that to a team. I think you had like fourth round submission or something like that. Crazy.
Dude, it was, you know, actually, I kind of, me and Tuco were like, man, you know, Tuco's way better than I am.
He's good.
He's way better. Good. He's super good, man. He's always, I think I've only seen him go negative, I think two, maybe three times since I've known him. And I'm talking about he bets every week. But anyway, we were both talking about it. I was like, bro, I'm telling you, he's going to win. He's going to submit him. And he was doing work with DB, like helping DB prepare, giving him looks as best he could. He's like, bro, I'm telling you, he's going to submit him. And he called it, man. We put the bets in, but they would only let us bet, like, because the odds were so crazy, they would only let us bet $84. We were trying to bet hundreds.
Yeah.
Hundreds. And they wouldn't let us. And I'm telling you, I'm the only kind of guy to bet, like, $20, $30 here or there, just little stuff.
Fun stuff.
He'll put in the money, like I mean, not big money, but he'll put hundreds in on bets and stuff. And we were trying to put, bro, when it happened, he lost his voice. He was screaming so loud. He still got the video somewhere. He's got a video.
We were going
crazy. I think we bought back like we put in $84 and we paid back like 3,000 some odd dollars.
There we go. Did you went out? You got him a little dinner, a little shrimp cocktail dinner or something?
Well, we put in what? So it was $84. So we put in what? Whatever the we just half that and then half the profits and split it. And yeah, we went out to dinner together.
There you go, man. Awesome, man. Hey, October 1st, right around the corner, UFC Vegas 61. It's a stacked card. A lot of really good, intriguing fights on it. Cannot wait. Brendan Allen Allen back in the cage, won 4 out of his last 5. And make sure, be on the lookout for All In Combat. You know my guy. Send me anything of that, flyers and all that stuff. We'd love to share it on Fight Bananas. Keep on pushing the word out, man. Big fan of you. Hey, man, love it. Two-time dad. We'll talk to you soon, all right, brother? We'll talk to you after the win, all right?
Yes, for sure, man. Thank you so much, man. I always appreciate it. Thank you so much.
Later, brother. Later, brother.